Hope you're enjoying your night off, GN, and I hope you'll stick around coming up tomorrow night when we do our annual JFK assassination show. This is kind of special. There's a new book out. It's a big, hot new book, and it's called Legacy of Secrecy, and it's about the deathbed confession of Carlos Marcello. So if you've been following at all the JFK assassination theories over the years, you already know his name, but you will not have known the information that's in this new book. We'll get to that coming up tomorrow night after we talk with St. John Hunt, the son of E. Howard Hunt, and we'll play the tape again of E. Howard Hunt's deathbed confession to his knowledge of the JFK assassination, and we'll talk about how those two things could be connected. And in the first hour, don't miss it, get your own autographed copy of the Warren Commission. And, I'm not a Warren Commission guy, but you got to give them their props. I mean, it seems like every test that comes out, the Discovery Channel just did one on the blood spatter evidence. And there was another book that came out not too long ago, asserting, in fact, that there was only one shooter and proving it. The Warren Commission, it's at least standing up to the scrutiny of time, whether or not it's any more right than it was in the 60s. Now, but whatever the case is, at least it's still very interesting, and we can get you an autographed copy of that. You can find out tomorrow night how to get one and who signed it and more coming up tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM. Back to Nikola Tesla. Phones are lining up for Tim Swartz, the author of The Lost Journals of Nikola Tesla. We'll talk about what is alternative four and take your calls on Coast to Coast AM next. The Lost Journals of Nikola Tesla, HARP, Chemtrails, and the Secret of Alternative Four. Tim, what is Alternative Four?
Well, Ian, Alternative Four, as used in the title of my book, is kind of a joking admiration to the British pseudo-documentary from 1977 called Alternative Three. I don't know if you're familiar with this
No,
document.
you got me stumped there.
Okay, well, this was a program that was presented on the BBC, and it was originally meant to be broadcast on April Fool's Day, but due to some delays, it actually ended up playing a few weeks later. In this show, it appeared to be a documentary talking about how the various governments of the world, especially the United States and the Soviet Union, had discovered years before that the Earth was doomed to bake under global warming. And they had come up with three alternatives in order to combat this. One alternative was to dig a big hole in the ground and take everybody down underneath the Earth. And offhand now, I can't remember what the second one was. But the third alternative, which is was the major one, was to build bases on the Moon and Mars, where the elites of the world would go to live. And the rest of us would be left behind to shake and bake here on the planet. Those who did go with the elites would basically be slave laborers. So a lot of people actually thought that this was a real program, and there was some very concerned people for quite a while. And in fact, if you get on the internet and do some searching, you'll still find a lot of articles that think that this was an actual true-to-life documentary.
Okay, now how did that have to relate to Nikola Tesla?
Right. Well, my alternative four was the other alternative with global warming, which actually, in 1977, I have to hand it to the people who wrote this program. I mean, in 1977, I don't think very many people had even heard about global warming.
Right.
So, we take that today, and everybody's heard of global warming. So, alternative four would be to actually use Tesla technologies, like I spoke about earlier with the chemtrails and the HARP array in Alaska, to instead of fleeing the Earth from the global warming, actually trying to do something to stop it. And it's back to what I was talking about earlier with HARP and chemtrails being a possible explanation for the chemtrails and a possible explanation for the HARP array as well. It's a method of weather control to try to either prevent global warming or, as some writers, such as Jerry Smith, who has been on Coast to Coast before, has speculated to use weather as a weapon against one's enemy.
Sure.
And, and once again, I mean, we're talking about technology that Tesla thought of years ago. I don't think that Tesla would have been very happy with using his ideas as a weapon. I mean, Tesla was very much a man of peace. His conception of using his technology as weapons would be more to, it's like I'd said earlier with the death ray, everybody would have his weapons, and nobody would dare attack anybody else, and an end to war, not as a way of dominating one country over another. So that's in brief, that's what the alternative for title.
West of the Rockies, Jim is in Grand Junction, Colorado, for Tim Swartz of the Lost Journals of Nikola Tesla. Jim?
Hi, guys.
Hi, Jim.
A long time ago, I read a book that was about Tesla, and it said that he had perfected these little huts that would hold a giant battery, and there was a tower on the top of the hut. And I understand that there's one of these actually at Niagara Falls, but his idea was that he was going to, he had it figured out where he could catch lightning with several of these things and power whole cities by that. And I guess it didn't go over with the government very well.
Tim, what do you know about that?
Well, actually, that is part of Tesla's research into his great love, which was the wireless transmission of electricity and energy. And in fact, he went as far as to begin. He started building just such an array in Wardenclyffe, Long Island, which was just north of Manhattan. And I mean, he had it all worked out. He knew exactly what he was going to do, and that it was going to work. J.P. Morgan actually funded this project, though Tesla kind of fudged on the details a little bit to J.P. Morgan. Tesla told him that it was going to be a central radio facility, where from this point you could broadcast all over the world, radio programs, even an early conception of television, telephone transmissions, and just all kinds of wonderful things. That was going to be an actual part of it, but the main thing was that this was going to be a facility where he could broadcast electricity to basically anywhere in the world, as long as you had the proper kind of receiver. And I mean it definitely would have worked, but once J.P. Morgan found out just exactly what the true idea was for this array that Tesla was building, he withdrew his funds. And it never got to be completed. And in fact, a few years later, the military tore it down because they were afraid that this giant broadcasting tower would be a good way for the Germans to hone in on New York City.
Let's go to Wildcard Line. Mark is in Florence, Oregon, on Coast to Coast AM for Tim Swartz, The Lost Journals of Nikola Tesla. Mark?
Hey, Ian. Hey, Tim. How y'all doing tonight?
Mark, I'm doing great.
Hey, you sound that way. You both sound like you just got up and it's already tomorrow morning and you got a whole night's sleep.
Well, it's coffee for me. That's keeping me going.
That'll work. That's what an interesting show will do, and I appreciate y'all doing it. Tim, I wanted to ask you, there were two things I've heard about Nikola Tesla, and one of them, the source is Al Bielek. Have you heard of Al Bielek by chance?
Oh, yes, yes.
We talked about him a little earlier when we were talking about the Philadelphia experiment, right?
Okay, must have missed that. And Al Bielek, he always seemed very truthful to me. So he said that Nikola Tesla actually was like the head scientist as far as the electronics went on the Philadelphia experiment.
Right.
And then that Dr. von Neumann took over after that because Nikola Tesla would not go along with the way that he was being directed to use the electricity, which was to actually penetrate the whole ship with it, with a manned crew aboard. So that was the way Al Bielek had told it. You're probably aware of that. But the other thing is I had also heard that Nikola Tesla actually died under suspicious circumstances, is that all the papers that he had at the time that he passed away, they just disappeared.
Well, you missed the very premise of the lost journals of Nikola Tesla was about the papers that disappeared. But let's talk about and thank you, Mark. Let's address that, the issue of the circumstances of his death. Suspicious?
You know, I don't think so, actually. Tesla was pretty old at the time. He was in his late 80s. He had, a couple of months before his death, he actually had been hit by a taxi cab while crossing the a busy Manhattan street. So, you top his injuries with a heart condition that he had, and I really don't think that there's really any suspicious circumstances,
right,
on his death. I mean, I think that he just died naturally of old age. But then again, it's like he asked. I mean, as soon as he died, though, boy, the government just swooped in and took what they could.
Right.
As well, I didn't mention this before. Tesla had a nephew who was a diplomat for Yugoslavia, and I think it's pretty well apparent that even before Tesla died, his nephew was probably squirreling away a lot of Tesla's documents to take back to communist Yugoslavia at the time.
Maybe he wasn't dying fast enough for the government's taste. Let's go wildcard line. Jacob is in Rockville, Maryland, for Tim Swartz. Go ahead, Jacob.
Hey, Ian. Tim, I was wondering. I have a two-part question, and then I have a comment. The first part of my question is, in this day and age, if Nikola Tesla existed, do you think he would solve the current energy crisis we're in?
Oh boy, that's he may have some really good ideas. I mean, he had some excellent ideas when he was alive. Now, whether or not the various powers that be would allow him to implement these ideas, that is what is debatable. That's the problem that he was running into in his day. I mean, the whole idea of the wireless transmission of electricity did not sit very well with a lot of the people who financed him, because they were getting rich off of Tesla's Niagara Falls facilities.
Right, Marconi. And my second question part, do you think that the Democrats in Congress, it's political, should pay homage to him, since a lot of their ideas came from Tesla with his ideas for alternative energy?
I think everybody should pay. Let Republicans and Democrats should pay homage to him.
Yes,
I think
that's exactly.
No, I don't know why it would only be Democrats. I think anybody who, that's the thing about Tesla is he really, in a lot of ways, I mean, oddly enough, until the rock band came out in the 80s named Tesla, which kind of started the whole Tesla conversation again for a new generation. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, just as you said, just didn't really make the connection to the inventions and to the innovations that Tesla had come up with. And I'd be willing to bet, going back to Jacob's question, that if he were alive today, if he couldn't solve the energy crisis single-handedly, he would be able to take existing technologies and make them a lot more efficient, a lot faster. He just seemed to have that kind of child's mind. Let's go to Douglas in San Francisco on Coast to Coast AM. Douglas?
Hey, always good to talk to you, Mr. Punnett, and honored to speak with you, Mr. Schwartz. I just wanted to throw some information to clarify the bit about Tesla's documents leading to confiscation by the Office of Alien Property at an apartment which no longer exists.
Right.
What happened was that he was ethnically Serbian. I spent some time in Yugoslavia, but he was born in Croatia. He always said Serbia was his motherland and Croatia was his fatherland. And a lot of Yugoslav people said that he had children, but I don't know if that's true, so I'd like to hear your opinion on that. But apparently he was aware of his mortality, and due to negative experiences with technology distribution in the United States, he felt his legacy should be the property of all mankind. So probably via family connections, he sent documents back to Croatia and Serbia, and at that time, Croatia was an active Axis satellite, and that's sure. how the Reich got those documents, and Serbia was in the midst of a civil war, and when Tito conquered Serbia, that's how the Soviet Union got those right. documents, and that's when the Office of Alien Property said this man is now somebody who's leaking information to all active belligerents, and they confiscated all of his property after his death. And the Americans were so angry that before Lex Luthor, the Superman cartoons portrayed Tesla as the supervillain.
That's right.
And David Hatcher Childress, I hope he's still releasing these DVDs, but I think he's been releasing DVDs of those cartoons.
Right. Oh, it's very interesting. Well, it was just like Douglas, it was just what Tim was saying about a relative that would be getting that information back to Yugoslavia. You want to add a quick comment for Douglas?
Oh, yes, definitely. Well, gosh, there was so much that he said there. Boy, we could spend the rest of the evening just talking about what he said. But, yes, I mean, I agree completely, though people need to realize that Tesla had become a United States citizen. So, I mean, it always seemed kind of odd to me that they would use that that branch of the government or to
come after him
because after him and seize his paperwork. So, you know, in that day and age, I mean, the government could do just basically kind of like today anything that they wanted to do. So,
right.
I mean, they just used this branch and seized his paperwork and
even though he'd been a naturalized citizen.
Oh, for a number of years, yes.
Right.
I think he was 35 when he became a naturalized United States citizen, and he died in his 80s. So, I mean, yeah.
That's 50 years as a good old-fashioned immigrant American. Let's go to Brian in a wildcard line, Indiana, on Coast to Coast AM for Tim Schwartz. Go ahead, Brian.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Ian. Great show tonight. I've done some research on Tesla myself, and I was just wondering what your take was on his energy shield. And I've seen a couple of websites where they believe that Russia might actually have one of those prototypes running. And
there was an energy shield in the news today. I don't know if you saw that, a Star Trek-like device that they're talking about. They don't know how far away it is, but it's downright very much like just the kind of, shields up kind of thing you'd expect from a Star Trek episode. Tim, what do you know about that?
Oh, yes. Well, there was actually a satellite photograph taken in the 1980s of a facility in the Soviet Union that appeared to be some kind of Tesla device. Whether speculation was that it was a particle beam weapon of some kind or an energy shield, possibly a projecting energy field.
Well, we're not done yet. We got another half hour of your calls on Nikola Tesla. The Lost Journals of Nikola Tesla are out now, thanks to Tim Schwartz. HARP, Chemtrails, and the Secret of Alternative 4. That's the subtitle for the book. And we'll get to more of your calls coming up next. We'll shoot you the numbers you need. If you go to the website at coasttocoastam.com, you see some great stories up there tonight, some of which we talked about in the blog. And there is the new trailer out for the new Star Trek movie. And I put that link in my blog, as well as a link to William Shatner's reaction to the new person portraying James T. Kirk in Star Trek 11 coming out in May. You can find that at coasttocoastam.com. Just click on my blog. Back with more of Tim Schwartz next. Got to get in all your Tesla calls between now and the top of the hour. And then in the last hour, we'll just go open lines. which is always fun, too, on a Friday. Then tomorrow night, the big JFK show. You can look for more on that online at coasttocoastam.com. But if you got a Tesla question, Tim Swartz is your guy to ask. The lost journals have been recovered through research and are being shared in the new book. Coming up next, The Lost Journals of Nikola Tesla on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. It's Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie taking the night off, and we're taking more calls for Tim Swartz and The Lost Journals of Nikola Tesla. Daniel is in Toronto, Canada on Coast to Coast AM. Daniel?
Hi, how you doing, guys? I've got three quick questions, I guess, in light of Tesla. The first one is, do you think he had any sort of connection or involvement with the Illuminati? And the second question was, did he have any involvement with the German flying saucers at the end of World War II? And the third was, do you have any light on his obsession with the number 333?
All right. Well, let's see. To answer the first question, as far as I know, I have not found any good evidence that Tesla was involved with the Illuminati. Tesla did not belong to any kind of groups like that, you know, the Masons or he didn't have time. And, you know, Tesla was not the type of person to get himself involved in such kinds of group activities. I mean, he was kind of a man about town in his younger days and really did not have much much time for that. Now, whether or not the Illuminati had some kind of, if they actually exist, had some kind of influence on him in a way that he didn't know about, say, like his financing or anything like that, you know, that's up in the air. Now, as for the second question about the Nazi flying saucers, that is something that I have been doing considerable research on recently. I had stated earlier that I think that some of Tesla's paperwork may have actually ended up in Nazi hands. And one of the outcomes from that could very well have been the development of the German flying disc. Tesla had been doing research at one point on what we would basically call anti-gravity. He didn't call that at the time, using both electrical high capacitors charged with electricity, as well as giant flywheels or gyroscopes. So I think that there could be some very good evidence that Germany did actually develop flying discs, that at least some of the technology was stolen from Tesla.
What about the number 333, Daniel asked?
Well, Tesla, later on in his life, he started becoming increasingly eccentric. He developed what we now know as obsessive-compulsive disorder, and one of the things that he would obsess on was the number three, and especially in the number three in groups of threes, either the way prime numbers or the way that you could multiply it, and a lot of his daily activities revolved around the number three. He would, open and close the door three times, wash his hands three times, turn switches off three times. So that is more than likely, at least in my opinion, where some of this obsession with 333 came from.
All right. Let's get to Don is in Arizona on Coast to Coast AM. Don?
Hi, Tim. You sound a little bit like the rock and roll conspiracy guy who comes on the show. And I want to ask you about Tesla, the band. They wrote a song called Edison's Medicine, Man at a Time, about Tesla. And I want to know if you think they were proper on their synopsis of Tesla in that song.
Well, I wish I could give you an answer to that, but unfortunately, I have not heard that song, so I really couldn't tell you.
interesting that the band Tesla really did start to address the issues of Tesla himself and pick up the cause of the feud between Tesla and Edison. It's a rare aspect, I think, of their heavy metal music, that they continued the feud in the name of Tesla. Here's one of the lines from the song. You're guilty of crime in the first degree, second and third as well. My jury finds you'll be serving your time when you go straight to hell. That's how they describe Thomas Edison. Let's get to Jeff, the West Coast in Oregon on Coast to Coast AM for Tim Schwartz, the author and editor of the Lost Journals of Nikola Tesla.
Hi, Ian. Hey, Mr. Schwartz.
Hi, Jeff.
My great-grandfather lived in Colorado in Pueblo, and he was a friend of Tesla's. I had heard this a number of times over the years, and my great-grandfather had built the first X-ray machine that was used in Pueblo at one of the hospitals there. And I was just kind of curious about his X-ray work. How did he invent the X-ray, or what was his deal with that?
Okay. X-rays is kind of like television. It's one of these things where there were a number of different people over the years who actually contributed to the development. Tesla began investigating X-rays in 1887. Of course, now at that point they weren't called X-rays, and he was using single node vacuum tubes to actually produce the X-rays. I think it was by 1992 Tesla became aware of what Wilhelm, I'm going to mangle this guy's name, Rotgen, later identified as the effects of X-rays. Tesla probably was definitely one of the first to become aware of what X-rays were capable of. And in fact, he took a number of photographs of his hands and engineers and Mark Twain as well, who was a very good friend of Tesla. Mark Twain was fascinated by the X-rays, and there were a number of pictures of various body parts of Mark Twain that Tesla would X-ray.
Interesting. Robert is in San Francisco on Coast to Coast AM for Tim Schwartz. Go ahead, Robert.
Tesla's such a wonderful person. I belong to the Tesla Society in San Francisco, sftesla.org. Oh. And we meet every month on the second Tuesday. But Tesla wanted to take energy from the center of the Earth using water. But water's a poor medium to store energy. Salt is molten salt stores much more energy than water does, I think 25 times more. And so in the desert, you can focus mirrors on molten salt. And with a Tesla turbine, produce 10 times the energy, 10 horsepower per pound of motor. You can build a huge Tesla turbine in the desert, use molten salt from mirrors, and produce more electrical energy than from nuclear power plants. And I feel that that's something that people really need to consider, that we could,
sure,
with solar thermal, produce all the electrical energy that we need.
I love that thought. You're right.
That's fantastic. And, the Tesla turbine is one of these so-called, like, lost inventions of Tesla. I mean, engineers are aware that it exists, but there really has not been sufficient research and development of it in using a modern technology. And I absolutely agree. I mean, if we start developing the Tesla turbine in use with some of the modern technological ideas and eco-friendly ideas, I think that we could really come a long way from the current situation that we find ourselves in.
Let's get to Ian in Toronto on Coast to Coast AM for Tim. Go ahead, Ian.
Well, thank you. Hello there, gentlemen. I was wondering, did Nikola Tesla ever work with invisibility? And if he did, are there scientists today secretly carrying on this work?
We talked about this a little earlier in the program. Tesla's idea on invisibility, though, I mean, I don't think that he actually called it invisibility, was that you could use rotating electromagnetic fields to basically take the light and just kind of like bend it around these fields, and anything that would be located in the middle of these fields would basically be invisible as light would go past it and around it. people like Al Bielek, who we talked about earlier, said that this was in part the principle of the Philadelphia experiment, that they were using rotating electromagnetic fields over the ship in the Philadelphia shipyard in an attempt to produce invisibility. And in fact, in Canada, there's a gentleman by the name of Hutchison, I think is what it is, who is has been for years doing research along this nature, with an apartment just crammed full of all kinds of Tesla-based technology, including devices with vacuum tubes. He claims that our modern circuitry just will not be able to produce the,
sure.
the same effects as the Tesla technology.
Well, before we get to open lines for the last hour, we still have some time to take some more calls. As long as we keep the answers short here, Tim, I think we can get them all in. Let me ask Dan back at the studio, though, in L.A. Dan, is somebody on line two? Because it's not showing up on my screen. Okay, fine. Then we go to who's next is Danny in Denver on Coast to Coast AM for Tim Swartz. Danny?
Hello, sir. I wondered, with the best of intentions, do you think Nikola Tesla was actually responsible for the Tunguska event? Not in a devilish or
malicious way, but you're talking about just like, could his technology have gone awry and blown up that part of Siberia?
Yeah, it sort of got out of his hands.
Okay.
Well, there was an interesting article written by a gentleman by the name of Oliver Nicholson, in fact, the Tesla wireless power transmitter and the Tunguska explosion of 1908. This was based on the idea that Tesla's Wardenclyffe transmitter may have been responsible for some accidents. The French ship Lena blew up in 1907, and then the Tunguska explosion in Siberia shortly thereafter. The theory being that Tesla was trying to attract attention with his device to, I think it was Admiral Perry, who was exploring the Arctic region at the time, and that Tesla missed and accidentally blew up a big section of Siberia. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, some of modern analysis of Tesla's experiments do point to the possibility that that his device was capable of doing that. In fact, that there was a cult in Japan who hired some Soviet scientists to do similar experiments in Australia in the early 1990s. So, I mean, it could be possible. I have yet really to find any compelling evidence that that Tesla was responsible for the Tunguska explosion.
Let's go to Sean in Pittsburgh on Coast to Coast AM for Tim Swartz. Sean?
Hey, guys. Great show. Tim, my question was, have you ever seen the movie The Prestige?
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit earlier, too. Love that movie. Yeah. What about it?
I must have missed that part.
It's okay. But what about it?
I just wanted to get his take on how the character was portrayed in the movie.
Who wouldn't want to be portrayed by David Bowie? It's kind of an upgrade, I think, for almost every human to me. But anyway, where are you with that?
You know, it would be really interesting to know just exactly, what kind of character, Tesla actually was. You know, and unfortunately, he was never, put on film, so we don't know exactly if David Bowie was playing him accurately or not. So, it's really hard to say. I mean, David gave an excellent performance, and in my own heart, I kind of feel that I think that's probably how Tesla was.
I think very elegant and sophisticated, very European feeling.
Yeah,
first time caller line. Mark is in Michigan for Tim Swartz on Tesla. We'll get these all in, and then it's open lines for the rest of the next hour. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, thanks. Amazing show, guys. Amazing show. I was just wondering, with the evidence that you're pulling forth in your book, Do you have any intention to try to get it into the hands of somebody who could produce it for the world so that we can fix the problems that we have? I am aware of the Orion Project by Dr. Stephen Greer, who's trying to do such a thing. And I was wondering if you know about him or if you're trying to push this kind of technology towards the people.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are people out there who are trying to replicate a lot of Tesla's ideas. You know, again, you know, a lot of his paperwork has disappeared, so they're basically having to start with scratch from just some of Tesla's newspaper interviews on his birthdays as he got older. We have Tom Bearden, who has done some excellent research on Tesla's scalar effects, as they're called. Unfortunately, this involves some pretty high mathematics that just goes completely beyond me. But yeah, there are a lot of people out there who are trying to take the Tesla ball and run with it.
Last caller we'll probably have time for. Dwayne is in Seattle on Coast to Coast AM for Tim Schwartz, The Lost Journals of Nikola Tesla. Dwayne?
Hi, Ian. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller, too. I've been listening since Art. It was almost a one-man show.
You're exactly right. He did a lot of heavy lifting back then, didn't he?
Tim, I read many, many years ago that Edison just absolutely detested and loathed Tesla. Tesla really didn't reciprocate that. But I also heard that Edison told all of his employees, the engineers that worked for him, if they mentioned the name of Tesla, he'd fire them. And I was just wondering if that was a true statement.
Sounds like it.
Definitely. It definitely was. You know, Tesla originally started working for Edison when he first came to the United States. And but see, Tesla was pushing his alternating current motor, and Edison was fixated on DC current. And when Tesla finally ended up winning the current wars, as it was called, leaving Edison behind in the smoke and dust, Edison, he never forgave Tesla. And in fact, I think that one of the reasons that Tesla ended up losing a lot of his financing years later was directly because of Edison and his influence.
So I think that's probably going to do it for what we have time for, although there's many more callers that want to get through. So I would encourage them merely to get to your website, which they can link up to through coasttocoastam.com, and go get Tim Schwartz's book, The Lost Journals of Nikola Tesla. And very interesting. Thank you. You're great with these questions. You really, truly know the life of Tesla and the body of his work. So made it very handy. So good luck to you on this new project, and I like the other stuff that's on your website, so we'll have to have you back sometime, okay?
Well, thank you, Ian. I had a great time this evening.
Good. You're a good man. All right, so and then coming up next, then, we'll run the table for open line calls for the last hour, and we'll get to all of your questions, your comments, things you've been hearing about this week with George, wherever you're going to take the show coming up, and or you can use it as a preview for tomorrow night. We got the annual JFK show. St. John Hunt will be on to play the deathbed confession of his father, former CIA killer E. Howard Hunt. And we'll also have the deathbed confession of Carlos Marcello. But we don't have his on tape, but we do have a transcript of it. It's the basis of the new book, Legacy of Secrecy, plus how to get your own autographed copy of the Warren Commission. That's coming up tomorrow night. And take a look online at coasttocoastam.com. Go into the blog. There's some great links there on my blog for Star Trek fans. And your comments, questions next. Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett in for George.